Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, Isaiah 6:3 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you're doing well on this Friday. Let me ask you to pray today for our youth meeting. Our youth meeting, which starts at 6 o'clock, and let me ask you to pray for our men's fellowship, which starts at 7. Pray for both groups. Pray that God would use the leaders of each group to minister to their constituency. And pray for me and my son Daniel as we go out after the Golden Hour Prayer. We're going to go right after the Golden Hour Prayer. We're going to go into the neighborhood and give out flyers inviting young people to come to the youth meeting tonight. Well, again, I want to thank you for joining us here at Manna from Heaven. We're talking about asking the Lord to increase our numbers. Our scripture text comes to us from the book of Ezekiel. Let me encourage you to turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. And it reads in verse 37 and 38. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. To do it for them, I will increase them with men a flock, as a holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, because every day you choose to speak to us. Every day you choose to remind us who you are and who we are. Now, Lord, draw us close to you and draw us close to your word. As we turn there to find out what you would say to us today, bless us, O God, we pray. Stir up our hearts. Stir up our minds. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And Holy Spirit, have your way with us today. Lead us. Guide us to all pertinent truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week's study is entitled Prayer Meeting Group Request. The entire group is making one request to God. And what is it? Well, according to Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, and 38, we're praying for increase in membership. Increase in membership. Now, if you look on page 2 of your outline, we're right there in the middle where it says Friday, August the 11th. And by the way, happy birthday to Brother Dick Hart. Friday, August the 11th. It reads, in answer to prayer, the Lord God will raise up a holy and devout people. In answer to prayer, the Lord will raise up a holy and devout people. And that, this phrase in the text, which reads, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. First and foremost, God, when he adds to the church, when he increases our numbers, when he multiplies the membership, he does so with the objective in mind, with the goal in mind, with the aim in mind of adding holy people. God does not like mixture. God would not bring unholy people and make them part of the church. What God does is he takes unholy people and he saves them. He takes unholy people, ungodly people, he takes sinners and he redeems them. Once he saves them, once he redeems them, they're now called holy. And those are the people that he adds to the church, redeemed people. So, turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Let's go to Peter's first epistle. And Peter here is writing to people who had been recently saved, recently redeemed, recently transformed, recently added to the church. And he says in the first chapter of his first epistle, starting at verse 13, he says, wherefore, this is an exhortation, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the appearing or at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 14. As obedient children, there you go. A holy people are obedient people. They're obedient to God, their Father, who saved them. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust, which you lived out in your ignorance. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of living, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. My brothers and sisters, God wants the church to be holy. To be holy means to be separated unto God and separated from the world. There's two separations that take place. One, you are separated or set aside for God. That's what it means to be holy. Part one of being holy is God has handpicked you to be for him. This is why you're called saints or separated ones. Who has separated? Was it you that separated yourself? No. It was God who separated you unto himself because he desires to have a holy people, a holy flock. So, first, he separates you and I unto himself. We are to be his peculiar people. We're to be his inheritance, his possession. And secondly, he separates us from the world. Our minds must not be worldly. We must not live our lives as we did in our former lust or in our former cravings, which showed our ignorance. Now that we have been redeemed, now that we've been saved, now that our minds have been enlightened, we are no longer ignorant. Now we know that we are called to be saints. And as saints, we are to be separated unto God and separated from the world. This is why it says in Ezekiel that God will add to the church men as a holy flock. A flock separated unto the Lord. A holy people. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we want to read from verses 1 through 10. And here is an amplification of 1 Peter 1. Peter goes into more detail as to what it means to be a holy people. And he's speaking to people who have just gotten saved. They are newborn babes in Christ, and he's explaining to them now that they are a special, royal, holy priesthood. Be holy, for the Lord who calls you, who separates you unto himself, and who separates you from the world, he himself is holy. So we're going to read from First Epistle of Peter, the second chapter, starting at the first verse, and we're going to go to verse number 10. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Now, you see that phrase in verse 5. It says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. We believers are a holy priesthood. And we function as priests when we pray, when we intercede for others. That's what it means to be a priest. A priest intercedes, prays. And we read here in Ezekiel that it is when God's people come together as a group and they pray that God will add to them many more people. So we are a holy priesthood to offer up, look what it says in verse 5, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let's continue reading in verse 6.
Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
So what are we according to verse 9? Well, we're a chosen generation. Chosen means separated. He has separated you unto himself. And by separating you unto himself, he has separated you from the world. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. How many more descriptors does Peter need to give us? So it says here in Ezekiel 36:37, that in answer to prayer, the Lord will raise up a holy and devout people. Because it says, as the holy flock. God will not add reprobate sinners to his church. Why would God mix sinners with, he wouldn't do it. Now, what he'll do is he'll take sinners and save them and redeem them. And once he takes sinners and saves them and redeems them, now they go from sinners to saints. But he's not going to add pure sinners, wretched sinners, wicked sinners. He's not going to do that. He will add to the church former sinners, washed sinners. Washed in what? Washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Peter 1:18. Let's go back to the first chapter. For so much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, you weren't purchased with silver and gold. Those are corruptible things. From your former lifestyle and the ways that in which you lived, which you were taught by your ungodly fathers. But you were redeemed, verse 19, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, who was a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, Jesus is the ultimate Lamb of God, holy in and of himself, holy God, who came to die to make sinners a holy people. It was Jesus and his blood that purchased you and I and made us white as snow. So when God adds to the church, he will increase the church and give us a holy flock, not an unholy. Because if you have unholy with holy, you're going to have war. You're going to have conflict. You're going to have one group pulling in one direction and another group pulling in another direction. And when the unholy are matched with the holy, what happens to the holy? They're grieved. Remember what the Bible says about Lot? Lot lived in the midst of wicked Sodom, and it grieved him to see the wickedness of these people. It grieved him. So God does not want to grieve us. He will add to the church people he has saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, these people whom he saves, people whom he turns from sinners to saints, are classified as holy, but they're more than holy. Now they shall be devout. They shall be serviceable. They shall be dedicated. As what? As the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. You know, in the days of old, when the people of God met God, they brought lambs with them. Lambs came in great numbers. As you know, when the people, three times a year, men were required to visit God's holy temple, three times a year. And when all those men came with their families, also coming with them were these huge flocks of lambs, these huge flock of sheep. And they were brought to be slaughtered because they had to approach God by means of a blood sacrifice. Well, God is going to multiply the sheep, but it's not going to be for slaughter. God is not going to add to our numbers so that they may be killed. No, that's not the reason. It's so that they can be devout. Is so that they can be serviceable. Let me give you an example. Turn with me to Romans 12. And this is how God will use you and I. As lambs that belong to a larger flock, because you're a lamb and I'm a lamb. God doesn't add to the church to then take away from the church, no. God adds sheep to the church so that they can be serviceable. It says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There it is. You're going to be a sacrifice, but you're going to be a living one. You're going to sacrifice your life each and every day in the service of God. God needs you to be alive. God needs you to be a living witness of his redemptive power. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice. Not only living, but holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, God is looking to get service out of us. When God adds to the church, and he will add in the Lord to give us 1,000 souls, we want those 1,000 souls to do what? To live in service to God. And not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God is not looking to turn you into a lamb to have you slaughtered. No. God is looking to turn you into a holy lamb so that you may be serviceable in witnessing to others, in being a billboard of what God can do to others. You and I are walking billboards. We tell others, look what God has done with me. He can do the same with you. I used to be a saint, but now I'm a sinner. And now I live for the Lord. I live a holy life. So again, when you go back to Ezekiel 36, 37, God will increase the church. And he will make all those who he adds to the church a holy flock. A holy flock like it was in the days in Jerusalem when the people of God came to this solemn feast. These sheep that God is going to add to the church, these lambs that God is going to add to the church, are not going to be self-serving. No, that's the world. The world is self-serving. The world is egotistical. The world loves only self. The people that God will add to the church in great numbers will live in service to others. So notice, God's going to add to the church, and what is he adding? He's adding workers. Workers to do what? To go get more sheep. That's what God is doing. You know, God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. But when Jesus died on the cross, what happened? Oh, then God began to save men and women. And he gave one, but look at the harvest that has come after Jesus came. How many have been added since Jesus came? And so when God adds new people, those new people are going to serve as a witness and get more people. You see, the sheep that God will add will be serviceable sheep. They will be living sacrifices. They're going to live devout lives, exemplary lives, lives of service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they're going to live that life in order to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So God's going to add holy people who are going to work tirelessly for the Lord. Don't we need workers at Grace Church? Oh, we need workers. We need lots of workers. Right now, if the Lord gives us, as we are praying, for 250 children, aren't we going to need lots of Sunday school workers? Isn't Sister Beth Close going to need an army of teachers? Of course she is. Well, where is this army of teachers going to come from? Well, they're going to come from those saints that God saves and makes them serviceable. That's how he's going to do it. When God adds 250 young people, Sister Amy is going to need workers. When God adds 250 young married couples, we're going to need workers. When God adds 250 seniors, we're going to need workers. We're going to need people who can serve those new people. And that's what God does. He adds people who have a mind to work for the Lord, a holy people, a working people with a work ethic. We don't need bench warmers in the church. We don't need people who are just going to sit idly by and do nothing. We need people who are going to roll up their sleeves for Jesus and work for the Lord. You read Romans 16. Go with me quickly to Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. Look at verse 6. Paul says, I want you to greet Sister Mary. She has bestowed much labor on us. What did Sister Mary do? Oh, she's one of those lambs that God added. Who was what? serviceable. Service. Look at verse 12. Paul says, I want you to salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. I want you to salute our beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. You see what God wants to do? He wants to add people to grace who are going to work for Jesus, who are going to work tirelessly for Jesus. And they're going to work tirelessly because the leaders that we have now are a good example of tireless workers. I am so blessed as a pastor at Grace Church to have people who really work for the Lord. They really work hard for the Lord. They're really, really dedicated. We have deacons that are dedicated and trustees that are dedicated and Sunday school teachers that are dedicated and just people overall who are dedicated to God. And we need more. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would add laborers to his harvest. So, when you look at today's lesson, God is going to give us a holy church. People who have been transformed by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. But more than that, not only are they going to be transformed, but they're going to work for Christ. Oh, Lord, let it be so. Well, saints, I'll be back tomorrow to wrap up this study as we continue to pray to the Lord that he would give us membership increase. God bless you in Jesus' wonderful name.